to play hooky.
Oh!
What's that, Richard?
I've got a big leak.
Poor guy.
Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Call 855-BEN-1776.
If any of our teachers have impacted your life, tell a friend about Faith Talk 1500.
The ultimate evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not signs, miracles, wonders, gifts, tongues, faith, hope, or holiness. The greatest evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is love. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is how the world knows we are followers of Jesus. Love motivates us to minister to the least and the most difficult of these, and in doing so, to serve and love Jesus. Love inspires two great commandments that Jesus gave to us. Love, agape, that is selfless, unconditional, and completely giving, is impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. He pours God's love out of our hearts. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When the Holy Spirit fills us with love, every fear, every worry flees. This is God 321. And now, here's your host, Danny Hutchins.
Hello, Detroit. Hello, Port Huron. Hello, Lansing. And hello, Toledo. And hello to Windsor, our Canadian friends out there. And we say a special hello today to Harbor Springs, where our guest is residing and on the phone, Pierre Bitar. But before we bring him on, I just want to make sure that all you listeners have our contact numbers, because I don't want you complaining you can't call us after or email us after or get a hold of us. So you can reach us at 586-978-0541, 586-978-0541. And, you know, God321.net. You go to God321.net, and all the programs are archived there. So you can scroll down, and then you can pick a program out. And Pierre Bitar has been on with us two other times, and those two previous times are right there on our website. And today we're going to talk to Pierre. And we're going to update with Pierre. And then tomorrow you'll be able to listen to a continuous update, because there's so much happening in his life and so much excitement, you know. And Pierre is so full of joy and always a delight to have on. Now, Dan Hutchins, you want to email me? It's Dan, D-A-N, and then Hutchins, H-U-T-C-H-I-N-S, at God321.net. God sees you. He hears you, and He loves you right where you're at. And I'd like to say a good Monday morning, a good morning to Pierre Bitar. So, Pierre, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you and all your enthusiasm. And for those who don't know, we want to go through you were asking God in your prayers to use you to spread His word. And God answered you and gave you a great commission. And that commission, we're so proud to be involved in spreading the word with you. And that commission was for you to paint the life of Christ. Yes.
Yes, Dan, you are doing great job, because many people also through your radio knew about this divine mission, and they are following it. That's wonderful. You see, we need, God needs nowadays Christian witness people, because the Christian faith is lost, and unless those who are experiencing it and have that faith to become witness and tell the others about it. This is very important to God and to each Christian of us. So really, I congratulate your radio, because it's doing this job faithfully, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. I'm so excited, and your website is so beautiful. You know, it's absolutely stunning. And then you've got video on the website, and God has commissioned you to paint, impressionistically, to paint, you know, the life of Christ. And in such a beautiful wonderful lit way. And 7 feet by 5 feet canvases, 14 of them.
Yeah, that's true. You know, at the beginning, I didn't know what is the real mission. You know, I was just borrowed, and I wanted to, on my vacation, to draw sketches, but nothing was appealing to me. And then I read the Bible, which was always with me, and the first page I opened was the when Jesus Christ was looking for disciples, and he met the four first disciples. And I started drawing. I saw the view, and I drew the sketch, and I liked the end results. And then I drew some others. And then when I went back, I started buying large canvas, 80-inch by 60-inch, and start to paint them now in colors and enlarge them and all that. And I was painting randomly. I just read the Bible and paint whatever I see. And then God told me once in a dream, or wake me up early in the morning, and say, no, you have to stop this random job. You have a mission. You have to paint the life of Jesus Christ. So what I did paint, some of them were belonging to the life of Jesus. Some other were in Revelation, for example. After Jesus Christ went to heaven, you know, they have the revelations and all that.
Yes.
So I stopped doing everything and concentrate only on his life. And then I discovered it was a real mission, which is painting the life of Jesus Christ to spread the word.
Well, you did that, and in a year's time or less, you accomplished painting out, you know, these 14 canvases in a completed work, and you didn't have really any idea of what expressions or that hadn't been your work. So you needed expressions. You didn't know what expressions you had on. You didn't know the arrangement that God wanted you to do. But he gave you images in your mind, and you finished this work in a fantastically quick time.
Yeah, it's true, because it's only in January last year that I was, as I said, willing to make sketches of whatever, and then I took the Bible and I start. I don't know why and how, but the amazing thing is that when I started in January to sketch, I start painting, I would say, end of February, early March, and by end of November of last year, I finished all the paintings. And to know how many paintings I need, I had, of course, according to the size of the painting, to go to my gallery, measure the whole surface of the wall, and I noticed that with the size I'm having, which is 80-inch wide and 60-inch high, I cannot put more than 14. So only at that time I decided to make them 14. They could have been 20 or 6 or 9, whatever. But it has been 14 only for this reason of space. And I finished the 11 paintings, the 14 paintings in November. And they are going to be displayed on the first level of my gallery. I am opening a museum this year. This year I am celebrating 20th anniversary of my gallery in Harbor Springs. So the gallery will become now gallery and museum. The first level, which is the street level, will be totally dedicated to the museum. And the second level, I keep the gallery running like before. So the museum is planned to open around June this year. The grand opening will be in June this year. And, of course, there is a lot of preparation to do, et cetera, and books to write. And some of them are written already. Some are published. Some are under press. And a long story. This book is something really interesting to mention.
Yeah, so 20 years in Harbor Springs. That's
yeah, the gallery.
Yeah, the gallery. And you moved from France to Harbor Springs.
Yeah, I moved from France to Harbor Springs in 1980, 81, I would say, to be correct. And I opened my gallery in 92. So I wasn't here all the time, of course, at the beginning. I was just coming in the summer to paint and all that. And then I start renting a condo, and then I built the gallery. And since I built the gallery, I'm here almost all year round. I just go to France once or twice for 1 month or 2 a year. to have some paintings because I love to paint the Europe, you know, Italy and French, and
yes,
back into my gallery. So I would say that the last 20 years, I am always permanent here, except 1 month or 2 months a year away.
You know, there was an amazing story that you told me with when you started painting. You know, God was giving you expression and showing you. But in the Annunciation, the way that you depict Mary and the way you depict the Annunciation, and then you show Mary in an activity when Michael came to talk to her with a scroll in her hand.
Right.
Now, tell us the story of that. That's of the writing on the scroll and how you chose that.
Yeah, I mean, I draw, of course, Mary, the sketch Mary, and the scroll in front of her. Not a book, because some error have been done already. If you look to some of the paintings of the past from the biblical paintings, you can see on the Annunciation people, they have Mary with a book in her hand. At that time, they didn't have books, of course. They have scrolls. So I did put the scroll, and I left a place between her shoulder and her hand where you can see the scroll, a part of the scroll. And I didn't know what I am going to write it. I said, okay, maybe I won't write anything. And then when I finished the painting, I said, I better have something here, but what can I put? Of course, it should be in Hebrew, because it can't be in English, of course, at that time. So I went to the internet to look for, because I don't know, I don't speak Hebrew. I went to the internet and I looked for, you know, on the Bibles, you can get Bible translation to Hebrew, for example, and have both simultaneously on the screen. So whatever you found or you look for on the English Bible, you have on the left side, let's say, the Hebrew version.
So you get to see both at the same time.
Exactly. So I have both side by side, and I was scrolling to go to, I went to Isaiah, and then I said, okay, what about the Annunciation? Because it has to do with the Annunciation. And I noticed that Isaiah has also predicted then the what happened to Mary. And then I took that verse and I draw it, you know, because I cannot write Hebrew. I draw it on the painting on that area of the scroll which was left empty. I draw it, I started, and believe it or not, I start from the extreme top right, because the Hebrew goes from right to left. I start on the top right of that empty area of the scroll, and I start copying from right to left, line by line. And when I reach the last word of the verse, it was the last spot left on the sheet. So this is amazing, because I never planned it this way, and even if I planned, it's not easy, because the character should be small, large. You don't know how they are going to fit. But it happened this way, and I said, this must be a miracle. God wants me to put it. Although maybe Mary was not reading it. Nobody knows what she was reading, as a matter of fact. But supposedly she was reading it, but she never thought that she will be the person who will be chosen for that.
Yes. Well, I know as an artist, of course, not to your, but as a draftsman, that when you're trying to make things fit, particularly when you're trying to make writing, and when you have to plan very carefully for it, you have to lay it out. It takes a great deal of planning and time. And more often than not, you have to do it a couple of times so it fits spatially correctly. And it's hard to do it and not make a lot of spatial error, you know, with it.
Actually, when you paint with oil paint, it's not like writing in a pencil and then take it off and then write it again or change the page.
No, you can't erase it.
This is oil paint. You have to put it and go through to it. And I cannot, when I was writing, I write large, let's say, character at the beginning, and when I feel there is no space, I start to squeeze them, it will be ugly. So it's amazing. They are really, I kept the same size from the beginning till the end, and it stopped exactly wherever it should stop.
Well, I can tell you that's a miracle for any of those of us that try to do drafting or drawing or, you know, or any type of lettering, particularly when you're doing it freehand like you were. And then with a medium that is very, you have to be very careful not to make an error because it's hard to get it cleaned up again.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's wonderful.
It's absolutely wonderful. And then you were working these painting, these canvases are 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide, the originals. And you have those easels in your studio. So you have 14 easels in your studio and of the blank canvas. And then you're doing sketches. And then you have to put that image up on these large mural size panels. That's an amazing, beautiful task that we can see images on your website. And you actually have a video where you talk about that.
Yes. I have a video of 15 minutes on my website where people can see the work, can see me working. They can see how I mix the colors. And how I work hard and I mean fast, I would say, fast and by impulse. It's not a matter of a calculated stuff, you know. It just come by impulse because I have nothing to copy from. I just have vision in my mind, and I want to express this vision as soon as I can, you know. So and I am very fast when I paint. Impressionism it comes by impulse. It doesn't come by slow work, you know. It goes very fast. And it is very interesting, really, to watch this this videotape, and you see me painting, and you can hear a summary of the story when I was interrogated by this this guy.
Yeah, and for all of you, now get your pen. For that website is Pierre Bittar.com. Yeah, absolutely.
There's been so many people watching it that if they click Bittar/ whatever part of the biblical, for example, Annunciation or Birth or Ascension, just Bittar Ascension, boom, it goes there on the Ascension. It became so many frequent now because my website has been used a lot now, and I have a means to check, and I would like to talk about that means, which allows me to know exactly what is happening around the world, how many cities around the world are watching it, how many countries, how many people every day, how many pages they are visiting, how long they spend on each page, and so on. It's very, very, very interesting. And the results are really very satisfying.
Yes, and God has brought you all of that because you didn't know any about any of these things.
No, I didn't know. It's just I was led by God. And, you know, I told the story before about when I was painting that painting with the bread, the multiplication
yes.
of bread. When Jesus fed 5,000 people from only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish.
Yes, yes.
So, and I explained last time on your radio that I was painting this bread, and while I was painting them one by one, I was multiplying them in a way on my canvas. I say, I praise the Lord. I say, Lord, how 5,000 people were fed out of 5? How did it come one from the other? And the whole day when I was painting it, it was taking my mind. And when I finished the painting, it kept running on my mind. How I wish if I were there that day to see how the bread is coming one out of the other. It's I mean, beyond imagination.
It is.
I slept that night late, though. And at 3:30 the morning, 3:15 the morning, I was waked up again by another message from God saying that, okay, I gave you, thanks to your talent, the possibility to spread the word of God through your artwork. But many Christians nowadays would like to come to do the same thing and spread the word because it's every Christian mission. But they do not know how. They do not know how. I want you to write now, write down what I am going to give you. So this will allow anybody, anybody who is willing to spread the word to do it in few seconds without any cost, without any cost, thanks to the internet, you know. So I wrote everything down, and on my website I have, after visiting, of course, all the paintings, there is Spreading the Word, a section Spreading the Word, an icon Spreading the Word. When people click on it, they see the instruction I received from God. All what they have to do is to transmit to their friends and relatives the same website and ask them to do the same. And when they will read this page, they will do the same. And, you know, thanks to this, Dan, amazingly, you know, because I have a means to check what has been done in my website, how many people are visiting it. So let's say I am interested to know the cities. So I go, for example, to the United States. I have the map of the United States and click on cities. So every city where they have access to my website and watched it are in a red dot on the map of the United States. And I am watching this every morning. And it started with few dots. And if I look at it now, it's totally covered with dots.
Amen. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Now, I have something like 910 cities only in the United States. And if I go to Europe and I do the same, I have the map of Europe and I click on cities, I have 420 cities in red dots in Europe. So Europe is covered. So the same is Africa and Asia and Australia. So when I see these dots every day increasing, I always have in my mind the multiplication of bread. And if God woke me up and asked me to do this, it was certainly because he knew that this will be done through the website the same way, like the bread was multiplied. The number of cities around the world is increasing every day. It's really, really, really beautiful and amazing.
Well, also, the in your note in there, Spreading the Word, it's not only just on our fixed computer, but, you know, you have the notepads or the pad books, you know, whether it's an iPad or it's one of the other notebooks, you know, the potential for spreading the word through that. And then there's the mobile, the smartphone, and when you scan in on your site, you have a QR code, okay, quick reference code, and in that code, you scan that code in, and then you can shoot that code over to a friend on another phone, and they can go right to your site and see the word and read that.
Yeah, they can visit it on their
smartphone. Yes, yeah, I do often.
It's amazing. It's amazing the technology nowadays. And you know, if I had this mission a couple of years ago, it wouldn't be as successful as now. Like God knew when exactly to make this happen. You see, everything is planned. God knows everything in advance. And it came now on the right time. Everything is ready to spread the word. Nowadays, people can spread the word in fantastic means, but they are not doing it. They are not doing it because they don't have the means. They don't know what or how to do it and so on. But with this system, all what they have to do is to send it to friends and tell them do the same.
Yes.
And everybody does like this. The proof is I have all these cities around the world, reach so many cities around the world, and the United States is covered, all those people. Now, you see, what I did first was in English. My website was only in English, and it was spread mainly on the United States, on the United Kingdom, and all those countries that they, like Canada, they can understand English. And some, of course, were in Europe, some were in Africa, because you have many people around the world who can speak English. But their number was very few. And I noticed, I can tell from when I analyze Google, I noticed that in Europe and in Asia and, you know, Arab countries and in Israel and all these countries, they go, but they cannot spend time on it. So I deducted from this that the language is probably the problem. They go, but they cannot translate it. And I see people are trying to translate themselves because Google has a means to translate, and this shows also, I know. So this God inspired me to translate it. So it is now translated in 18 languages.
18 languages.
17 are done, and I am working on the 18th. And the only the last 2 months, these languages were really published on the air. So in 2 months' time, I saw the number of people. I can know by language how many people are watching. You know, I have, for example, in Greece, the language of Greek, I have 666. In French, 591. Spanish, 361. German, 343. Italian, 329. In Hebrew, 287.
Wow.
In Arabic, 266. I'm speaking about pages here
yes.
that they visit. In Turkish, 255. Farsi in Iran, 223. Russian, 154. Hindi, 142. Chinese, 134. Portuguese, 126. Japanese, 115. Armenian, 107. Polish, 104. But Polish was the last one that has been published only a month ago. So it is increasing considerably every day. And now by having all this language, everybody has access to it. Praise the Lord. God wants people to know about him, wants them to be saved. And the only way to be saved is to know Jesus Christ. And what is written on my website will allow people to understand it very simply. I mean, the whole Bible can be visited in 15 minutes. People can see, can understand what it's all about. And they can go deep and deep and deep. And I am having a book. We'll talk about it maybe another time. This book also is really a kind of Christian faith witness book, you know. When people read this, they will understand exactly, they will believe, they will restore their faith. It's very, very, very important.
And PR, then, you had told me, and fascinating, that God impressed on you also when you, before you went and had all the languages, but out you were looking at and noticing that you were getting views from Muslim countries.
Yes.
And you said, well, okay, they're not staying long because, as we just discussed, that it's in English, so I need to speak to them in their language. And also, there's the issue about the Muslims believe in God, the one supreme God, but they don't believe in the Trinity. They find the Trinity confusing for them.
That's the difference, you know, between Christians and many other religions. The Hebrew, the Jewish, you know, they believe, of course, in God, that we believe in him. It's the same God. For Hebrew, it is the same God. The only difference that Jesus Christ, this is the Trinity secret, the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, they and God the Father, the three together makes one God. And I made on my website, I was inspired to explain the Holy Trinity, which is a very, very complicated subject, but it's important. So since I have it on my website, after the biblical painting, you know, the life of Jesus Christ, of our Lord, people can go there, can go to that icon and click on the Holy Trinity. And what's amazing is that in the I can, as I told you, check for each country or each people looking at it, how many are looking to each page of the Bible. And I noticed in the Hebrew language, as well as in the Arabic language, the Farsi language, Farsi, which is Iran, which is written in Arabic, but they don't speak Arabic. It is a special language. You know, these three who are believing in one God and don't believe in Jesus Christ as God, what is amazing that the page in which they are spending more time and they click more on and they study more is the Holy Trinity.
Yes.
So this is a proof that people want to believe. They want to believe that the Christian religion is not a fake religion. So they study the what I wrote about the Holy Trinity in order to be convinced. And I am sure if they were not convinced, they wouldn't spend as much time as I can see on my website.
Well, you know, Pierre, we have a converted Muslim on Thursdays who does a fantastic job. He was out ministering. He got converted by studying to convert Christians into Muslim. He wanted so fervently, and he spent his early part of his life fervently wanting to bring Christians into the Muslim because he believed that we were so wrong. But he wanted to do it in a loving way. And he was telling me that he would study so he could find issues in the Bible, and then he would take the Quran and he would confront Christians and they would have, you know, a discussion. And he wanted to bring the word to them. And a Christian couple who he had challenged asked him questions, and he so much wanted to go back and then answer them and found the Quran that he would talk to them about the Trinity and the flaw, and they would give him information until his eyes was open, you know, for that. And one of the things that he told me, he was searching for the source, because God, you know, God the Father, is the source of the information, and he believed or had been taught that the Quran was the source. But looking in the Quran, he says, okay, if the Quran is source, then who does the Quran point to? Do they point to God as the source of giving them word, and they go back? And he said he looked in the Quran, and in the Quran, as he went through, it showed him the Old Testament. Yes. The Old Testament, Old Hebrew Testament, was their source. And he said, well, if that is the source, and then the Bible contains the Old Testament and the New Testament of Christ, his eyes were open, and the Old Testament, you know, the New is the fulfillment of the Old and the Old promises. That opened his eyes and then opened his eyes to the Trinity.
Yeah, there is another way also, if people would like to calculate a little bit, mathematically speaking. The Bible was created almost 2,000 years before Muslims came in existence. 2,000 years, because 1,500 almost before Jesus Christ, and they came only 5 centuries after. That's making total something like 2,000 years. So 2,000 years the Bible was written. So how can be the source, the Quran?
Yes.
The Quran is not the source. The source cannot come after the origin. The kid, the boy, doesn't make birth to his father and mother. They make birth on him. He is born from the father and the mother. The same is true. The origin of the Quran, or part of the Quran, is the Bible, because the Bible was 2,000 years before.
Yes.
And they took part of the Bible in their Quran. But the fact that they didn't read the Bible, they didn't have the opportunity, as a matter of fact, they're not even allowed to. So they grew up on reading only the Quran, and they believe, and this is the end and the beginning of the world. But when they have a chance to discover that the Bible has what much more than what they have in their Quran, and what they have in their Quran is nothing but part of the Bible plus other stuff, then they will realize the reality. But in order to do this, they must have opportunity to do it. And this guy you are telling me about, God wants him to go and study in order to convince the Christian that the Christian is not the right religion. But by doing so,
yeah,
he discovered the real Christianity. He discovered the real Bible, and then he knows about it. He knows about it.
Yes.
This man, I don't know him, but I am sure he will be a very, very strong person to convince the Muslims, because he's one of them.
Well, he is one of them, and he tells us, you know, on his show, and on Thursdays when we have him, Abdu Murray is his name. But he tells us about the decision, because decision on becoming a Christian after becoming from a very devout Muslim family, Very well taught, very well done. And his passion was to reach out to Christians in love to convert them to Muslim, because he believed that that was the truth until he studied the Bible and found the source of the truth. But now he's so passionate, but he had to step out of his family, and then to, you know, to for him to convert means that you die. You know, you basically are lost to your family.
Very difficult for a Muslim to become Christian, especially if he openly speak about this in his own country. That would kill him. So they can eventually talk about it outside of their countries, like United States or part of Europe, whatever. But, you know, every Muslim, if he has a chance to look to the truth and study about it, he will recognize, he will realize that, you know, after all, the Christianity is 2,000 years ago. God himself came on earth. God himself. There is no religion why God came on earth. So if they cannot understand this, and I wrote on my some verse of the Bible on the Holy Trinity, which explains the importance of believing in Jesus as God, is very important. And without this, they don't have eternal life. And I explain this in detail. That's why they are interested on reading the Holy Trinity section.
Yes. And you gave it a beautiful, simple explanation. Yes. And then share that with our audience, because you're talking about the flame of God.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, it's very, very complicated to explain the Holy Trinity, because something we are not used to. It. Human being doesn't understand this, how three in one and one in three. They can't understand. But, you know, there is a very simple way to understand. If we believe that we have a soul and spirit that are going to live after we die, then we believe already on a human Trinity. And as a matter of fact, I want to add a section to my website as soon as I have time. Well, I explain about the human Trinity. The human Trinity, we are all of us, body, soul, and spirit. So if we believe that after the body dies, we are going, you know, the body has been, if you go to the Bible and study at the beginning, at the origin of the human being, how did it happen? God took clay in his hand and breathed into that clay, and then the man came alive.
Yes.
Now, that breath constitute on two things, soul and spirit. These two things are in us, which is the body. But the body is done from clay. Only this, the breath of God gave us this life. Without this, a clay is a clay. But with the breath of God, we are living being. Now, the body, when it passes its time, its duty is done, is going to turn to dust, going to die and turn to dust, from dust to dust, because everything on this earth goes back to this earth. But the breath of God, which is the soul and the spirit, which is within us, when the body dies, the soul and spirit, our soul and our spirit, will continue to go, leaving this earth, and go to a spiritual world where they belong to, because a spirit is born to be in the spirit, is created to be with the spirit, not with the physical people like us. So this is a strong proof that we are free. Now, if we are three, what is difficult to believe that God himself, after all, he created on his image. But we cannot make an analogy about our Trinity and the Trinity, the divine Trinity of God. The divine Trinity of God is totally different. But just to explain that analogy, that we are also three, so why don't we believe that God can be three? Now, to explain how God is three, I took three candles, which are lit, three lights, and I put the three lights together. I approached the three candles together and took a photograph. So you see only one flame created by three candles. If I take away one candle, the flame is still on that candle, even if it's not with the other two. Now, the flame is the essence of, I mean, what is the essence of a flame? Is the heat and the light. Heat and light makes a flame. A flame is made out of heat and light. Now, God is also three, like three flames, and instead of flames, God, a flame of God is also heat and light. But his light is his wisdom, and his heat is love, his love. You know, when you say enlighten me, up till now we use the word enlighten me. It means make it clear to me. It's wisdom. And when you say he's a warm guy, it means a loving guy. So warm comes from love. So God is also love, and wisdom is also heat and light. And everybody speaks about the light of God in the Bible is written everywhere. The heat of God, the fire of God is written everywhere in the Bible. So the analogy between the candles and God makes it very understandable. Now, the three candles, if I take one candle away, I still have the flame. So the essence is still there. The same, if Jesus or the Holy Spirit are out of the Holy Trinity, they are by themselves having exactly the essence of God. So they are God. You see, the analogy here makes it easy to explain. And then what is strong, that I went to the Bible and I took all the verses from the Old Testament and the New Testament, which has a relation with the Holy Trinity. And I wrote them on that section of the Holy Trinity of my website. And I give an example and proof that this is written here and here and here and there. You see, so it's really a good way to explain it as clear as possible to anybody can understand it. Of course, those who are willing will understand it much more than those who are not willing to understand, because nobody can force anybody to learn anything unless against his will.
No, but when people come and look and the seed is planted, then often even those who are not clear or don't appear to be willing, that seed is planted. And it grows, and the curiosity grows, and the desire to, in the case of Adam Murray, his desire to dispute the word was his digging into it, because he wanted to help others in his heart, to bring them to the Muslim religion, but the Bible and the truth brought him to the Christian religion, to Christ. So it's just phenomenal how you did that, and you do it in a beautiful way, and you have it in there.
Well, it's not me. It's
the Holy Spirit.
I mean, God is using me.
Yes.
You know, I have the faculty to express what I know, what I feel, what I
what he
what
gives
I
you.
See.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a quality that I have. I was instructor, as I explained before, for 24 years in a company for all Europe, you know, because my ability of teaching is good, because what I understand, I can explain it. So this was to explain my knowledge. Now, about my feelings, art allows me to explain my feeling. I was a very successful artist. I have over 4,000 paintings in homes around the world, original oil paintings. So this means that people have a reason to buy them.
Mm-hmm,
and
yes.
In my book, when I speak about, I explain on my book, I explain how people can feel spiritual feelings out of my paintings. Because when I paint, I glorify God. I paint outdoors all the time, and this transmits on my work.
Yes, your colors and your lights. I love the way you use the color, too, and God gives you that. Like you said on the 14 paintings that you do of the life of Christ, and you just went to it, and it's you get the image, and God downloads that image into you. Like we talk about downloading information into the computer or downloading photographs into the computer. He gives you this image. And he gave you in its entirety. So when you walk up to that separate yourself and go up to that 7 foot by 5 foot, you know, canvas, you have that image in its fullness.
Yes.
You know, right there, and you begin to paint, and then God shows you the color and the expression as you move through it. One of your beautiful examples is the Lord's Supper, because you do it differently than I've seen it done before.
Yes, yes. I mean, every painting that I did, you know, I got inspired from God. I didn't go and copy anything from anything before. It doesn't make sense. Why should I go and bring back whatever has been created already? So God has his reason. His reason, first of all, I am the only artist, impressionist artist. And impressionist artists are those who paint outdoors the life colors, the real bright colors. All the painting in the past were painted by academic art and classic art, as I explained, and they were dark, 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 because they paint indoors and under candlelights, etc. You can imagine how dark it is. So maybe God wants to refresh the museum with his life in true, beautiful colors, and that's why he inspired me. I don't know. I think every day about why did God choose me for that reason. I believe, according to what I analyzed, you know, first of all, the ability for me to express what I feel, what I know, and now I am expressing what my faith is on books and on that God knew about that. So the ability to explain what I feel, what I know, or what I believe, was one of the reasons, you know, the quality of teaching. And the other one is God needs probably his life on earth in museum to be in a different beautiful colors instead of this dark, dark and very sad things. You know, why not? So that could be also a second reason. I don't know. I mean, I analyze every night, every day, why God did you choose? You have many.
Well, Pierre, you know, one was that, too. See, God's word is a living word. And then the other is you are an impressionist, so you paint outdoors in the – and you look at his canvas constantly. You're painting from his canvas. You paint outdoors. You don't paint from an artificial canvas. You take from God's canvas, you know, outdoors. And you have trained yourself, and it has been in you, and the vibrancy of his work and the beauty. And, you know, one of the things that God showed me is that when he created man and woman, he created them for a purpose, and many say for us to worship him, and that is true. But when I look at it, it's worship in a different way than we often talk about. He created us with hands and feet to go, and with senses, you know, physical senses. When we touch some, we can touch it, feel it. Even if we're blind, we can touch it and describe, you know, what we feel. And what we can describe, as you do, what you see. What you see as a trained artist is different than I see, because you're more open to it. So God created Adam, in my understanding, and even my understanding, to walk about the earth, and when you see a glorious sunrise, to say, my God, how great is that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And when you see a beautiful rose, and you go up to it and you smell it, Adam described it as he was doing it. God was plugged into all his senses, so our God could smell it. He could touch it through man. You know, it's like hugging our children and loving our children and laughing. And hey, God gets that feedback from him. And Adam would say, look at this. Look at this. I'm going to call it a rose. It's absolutely beautiful. Let me touch these petals. Let me smell that. And he says, how great art thou, God, that thou created this beautiful, beautiful
absolutely.
Rose. Yeah.
You know, Dan, I have plenty of things to say about my books. And everything we are talking about now will be explained in detail. But maybe next time, because I don't know what is left as time this time. So I will.
We have 1 minute, so I need to close this one. And then what we can do is let's pick up on the books, you know, on the next time.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this is Dan Hutchins, God 321, 586. 978-8541. And we have Pierre Batara on. And you want to go to his website. And as Pierre said, you just have to put in Bitar, B-I-T-T-A-R, paintings. Or Bitar, the ascension. You just put in spiritual paintings. But put in Bitar, it'll pop up. You'll get to see the wonderful, wonderful 14 paintings. And there's a video on it. And God sees you, he hears you, and he loves you. And you can go to God321.net, and you can click on and jump right to Batar's if you can't find him. So you go to God321.net. We have several pages of Batar's work. So again, we're going to repeat this tonight. You know, we're all about it. God sees you. He hears you. And he loves you. And we are out of here.
Thanks for listening to God 321 with Dan Hutchins. God 321 is sponsored by Dihydro Services, Inc. To learn more about the person of the Holy Spirit, visit God321.net. That's God321.net.